Old Testament reading today is from Zephaniah chapter 1. Kind of a depressing reading. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who settle like dregs in wine, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. Their wealth shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth.
From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We're not of the night or of darkness. So then let's not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. You ever been robbed? Any of you? Have any of you had your house or something, your car, robbed? I thought there'd be some more hands. I see a couple. It was about 9 years ago. I was in Altoona, Pennsylvania at a denominational regional event. And I thought I locked my car. But I stupidly brought a spare set of keys that I left in the center armrest compartment. And I came out to the car and that center armrest was open. Someone had gotten into my car. I thought it was locked, but somehow they got into my car and they took that spare set of keys out. Now I had keys. I could drive home. But I'll never do that again. I'll certainly never leave a spare set of keys in the car that I need them for. I'm really lucky the thief didn't choose to steal my car, having found a set of keys in the armrest. And I was worried. It had house keys on it, too. I was worried, you know, and all they had to do was look at my registration, which was in the glove box. They could find out my address. They could drive to my house. It was over 2 hours away, but they could drive to my house. They could steal my beloved truck. Oh, my goodness. Well, they could go into my house, because they had the key if they wanted to. And, you know, when I got home, I changed the locks on my house. And I was very careful about my truck for a while, just kind of watching it. But nothing ever happened. As a consequence of it, really, I was just out a few bucks for some spare keys to have made and to change some locks. Didn't really cost me that much. But just the sense of violation, that somebody thought they could just go in and take it. And I must say, talk about, you know, precious things. I had a key ring, 1988 Buffalo Bills AFC East champions. And I had carried that for 25 years. That was the year they finally won the AFC East. The fans rushed down on the field and tore down the goalposts. It was so exciting. Very dangerous. Don't try that at home, folks. And I kept that for 25 years, hoping for another day when things would be great again. But that's gone now. That was the most treasured thing that was taken from me. And, well, I've managed to live all these years without it. All because of a thief in the night. That's when it happened. A thief in the night. And so this passage that I just read speaks of the day of the Lord coming like a thief in the night. Like suddenly. It's unexpected. I thoroughly expected to just wake up, get out of my hotel room, go down to the car and find everything mine still. And suddenly it wasn't mine anymore. Someone else had violated me and taken it. Those of you who have been robbed, were you planning on it? No, of course not. No one plans to get robbed. I mean, we plan not to get robbed. We spend a lot of money on alarms and locks and keys, and we try to arrange things so that nobody will rob us. But no, we can't plan on that. You try to do everything you can. You lock everything. But you know, unless your house is designed like a safe room, if they really want to rob you, they can. Isn't that true? Somebody who really wants in your house badly enough can get in. It is true, right? You do realize this, right? Even locked doors don't stop them. Windows break pretty easy. You know, there are ways to break through and get in. And so ultimately, we kind of depend on the social contract that nobody is going to try that because they know that there's an alarm or something that might go off, or there's police protection around, or there's neighbors watching out for you, or there's something that's going to happen that would keep them from getting in and taking anything they want. Scriptures say, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So that the day of the Lord will have a similar element of surprise. You weren't planning on that visit from a thief, and yet it happened. And we're not planning on the Lord's return, and we're not expecting it. But I think where it's going to be a terrible day, I think the worst part of the day of the Lord, why it is described as so terrible, is that all the stuff that we like is no longer ours to keep. We used to know some people that, you know, one of their favorite ways of lecturing their kids, if their kids mishandled something, they'd say, "That's why we can't have nice things. Because you mishandle it. That's why we can't have nice things. Why bother? Why waste our money on nice things? Because you're just going to break them anyway or lose them." Well, if you like your nice things, if you are used to hanging on to things, the day of the Lord will be a terrible day for us who hang on. I got brokenhearted over a stupid key ring. Think about all the other things of so much more value, sentimental value, pictures that you like of your family, memories, mementos of your family, something special that you won, an award that you got, a degree that you attained, some kind of a trophy that you have in your house. Maybe you were in some softball league or something and you won the championship, or in school at sports you won some kind of award and it's all just gone like a thief in the night. No more nice things. The day of nice things is over. First Thessalonians 1 is written by somebody who got used to not having nice things. Paul went from place to place, making tents to survive, to pay his bills. He'd have to leave town quickly because authorities would chase him out, or he'd be jailed and then lose his stuff. And he was cultivating a very minimalist vibe as he moved from town to town, proclaiming the good news of Jesus to people that did not believe in him. And he learned to not get attached to stuff. And although that I'm sure for him was a very painful lesson, because I believe he was brought up to be a Pharisee and have lots of nice things, lots of accoutrements, lots of things around him that seemed special, golden robes, you know, ornate appearances. Things were really good when he was growing up, and then suddenly he is like a criminal, hounded and chased from town to town. And so everybody agrees, the scholars all agree that Paul wrote this. And perhaps he was trying to get people ready. The day of the Lord is coming. God's going to come back. And suddenly all your nice things, all of our nice things, even your Buffalo Bills key ring, it won't be worth anything anymore. And that's going to happen for each and every one of us, and it will happen everywhere. Zephaniah is the example. He proclaimed the end of his society, the kingdom of Israel. Northern kingdom had already fallen. Southern kingdom was on its way to falling. The day of the Lord was coming and everything was going to be taken away from them, and he had to warn his people. One thing that gives me comfort, if you still like your things and you still want to cling to them, there's one thing in Thessalonians that comforts me, is that people are going to say, when it happens, people will be saying, there is peace and security. My whole life I've never heard that. I've never heard anyone that I ever hung around that looked at the world and said there is peace and security. You can imagine all the things that I prayed about today suddenly being taken care of. Suddenly there's no war in Ukraine. Suddenly the Israel-Hamas war is over. Maybe we've put an end to poverty. Maybe there's no more climate problems going on in the world. Maybe everything has been straightened out and everybody's doing the right thing. And that's when this comes. The thief in the night shows up to take away our nice things. Well, we're not there yet. I don't know anyone saying, oh, this is a great world, but right, we have lots of peace and security now. No one is saying that. So maybe if you like your things, that should give you some hope. There's time. It's not over yet. But the day is coming. And even if the day of the Lord doesn't happen like a thief in the night, death often comes that way. We just go when it's time. And so I encourage you to think about your stuff, and do you really need it all? Regional executive down in Pennsylvania, Frank Frischkorn, who's retired now, he and his wife went on a journey to get rid of stuff. He decided, I need 7 years of IRS returns, boxes of receipts, because I've been told the IRS could come back after you. Actually, I've heard that they can go back as far as they want. For some reason, we use 7 years, but I've heard that they can actually go any year they want. But he thought seven was a safe figure. And so he kept his tax returns and all related documents in boxes. So he had 7 boxes of returns. He had pared his stuff down to a couple of boxes of personal items for his children to inherit. And the furniture they had in the house. He had cleansed everything. And that's all they had to do when he died, was to liquidate 7 boxes of tax returns, 2 boxes of personal stuff, and the furniture. Those of you who have ever liquidated the estate of a loved one, have you ever had it that good? No, we keep hanging on like we're going to keep it forever. And we pile it up and we don't pare down. I see passages like this as an opportunity to don't hang on to stuff. Maybe somebody else can use it. Maybe somebody can benefit from it. Maybe you can actually get some money to use for something good by selling the stuff that you have. Life seems to be teaching me and every one of us, don't hang on to things. Our attachment will be, one way or the other, our attachment will be broken. And that will be the day of the Lord.